Hey, this is Jonathan, and welcome to The Living Stone, a podcast from Greystone Baptist Church. This first week of Advent, Pastor Chrissy preached on hope in her sermon titled, Growing in Hope. The scripture reading from this week is from Romans chapter 15, verses 4 through 13. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of scripture we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God in order that he might confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with this people, and again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Well, today is the first Sunday of Advent, as we have begun to establish. And like many of you in the room, today was the day that the Advent calendar came out of the closet. This is not just any Advent calendar. This is Lego's Harry Potter Advent calendar. It is the first Advent calendar that we have ever had in my house, and words cannot describe the excitement leading up to this moment, today on the first day of Advent. We've been waiting with the box on the top shelf of the hallway closet for nearly a month now. There are not words to describe the magnitude of Mia's excitement about how amazing this whole experience would be from day one to day 25. In a sense, we've had a countdown to the countdown for the birth of Jesus. Now, Justin and I, we've tried to tell Mia that it's probably not everything that she is expecting it to be. She's not going to get all the pieces at the same time. We've tried to set that bar nice and low to make sure that she understands she's just getting one small gift each day. We've tried to explain how Advent calendars work. One thing, one door, one number each day, and then more waiting to open and see what lies behind another door. We've tried to shield her from the inevitable disappointment that will come when she realizes it will probably be Christmas before the whole scene is set, before all the figurines are in place. And even though we have tried to manage her expectations, even though we've tried to help avoid major heartache and disappointment, there was something that was happening around this Advent calendar, something that was pure and untamed, unhindered. There was something special about Mia's Harry Potter Lego Advent hope. I heard her wake up this morning and the feet hit the floor above the kitchen where I was sitting. I heard her run down the hallway, then down the stairs and into the kitchen where I was working. She found the box immediately, looked for number one after informing me it was not in the correct place. She opened door number one. And I watched her silently. And I noticed something special, something beautiful, something in her that it seems I have lost along the way. I saw excitement. I saw joy. I saw curiosity. I saw commitment. I saw confidence that whatever was in this box behind that misplaced door number one, something absolutely amazing was about to happen. Really, what I saw this morning was hope. And look at what she found. It's a tiny Harry Potter. I was kind of surprised he was in door number one. And on the cover of his shirt is the letter H, which probably stands for Harry. But today, and every day that I look at this Lego Advent calendar, that H will stand for hope. The older we get, the more I think we struggle with hope. Perhaps we struggle with it because of some of the hard lessons that life has taught us along the way. Perhaps we had hoped for health in a year that was met with illness. Perhaps we hoped for prosperity in a year of scarcity. Maybe we hoped for companionship in a year of nothing but loneliness. Whatever it is that we hoped for, sooner or later, for most of us anyway, life has taught us not to get our hopes up too much because we might be disappointed. With this logic, hope is understood as weakness, which is covered up in optimism. And thus it's relegated to our children, to the naive, to the young, to the simple-minded. With this logic, hope is merely a feeling. It is an emotional response that covers up the pain of our adult, of our grown-up realities. As adults, we try to protect ourselves from hopes. We lower our expectations so that we're not surprised by outcomes, so that we don't have to feel the pain of disappointment when reality sets in. But this morning, I am convinced that hope is none of those things at all. Rather, I'm convinced that hope is a stubborn refusal to accept things the way they are. I'm convinced that hope is a commitment to work for change. Hope is the active partner of faith, which believes that God is at work in the world. As author David Orr put it, hope is a verb with sleeves rolled up. And said with a Christian twist, this morning I am convinced that hope is a verb that is ready and eager to join in the work of kingdom building, even as we wait for God's presence to be made known, even as we wait, knowing that it seems like all is lost. Hope does not and will not stop. When Paul wrote the letter to the Romans that you heard a moment ago, Paul is addressing a church that is weary in their waiting, a church that has endured much, a church that is in jeopardy of being ripped apart by increasing cultural and political differences amongst the people. Paul has seen the vitality of the church threatened by the anti-Jewish sentiments endorsed under the reign of former Emperor Claudius, under whose rule Jews like Prisca and Aquila, who we know from the book of Acts, they were discriminated against. Their homes were stolen, and they were forced into exile. But Nero, the new emperor, was more sympathetic to the Roman Jews, and he permitted them to come back. But the damage was already done. The traumatic realities of exiles remained, and the church, which was young and was made up of both Jews and Gentiles, had to rediscover how to move forward given everything that had transpired. It had to rediscover hope in the midst of brokenness. How could those returning from exile trust the Gentiles who remained in Rome reaping the benefits of empire? How could those who remained at home welcomed? How could they accept back the exiles into their community, without accepting some kind of personal risk? How could these groups get together? The church had to rediscover its unity in Christ, who saw beyond those categories of Jew and Gentile, but tensions were high and the situation seemed a little hopeless. Differences of political affiliation and ethnic identity had begun to seep into the church and dilute that unity, that early unity, which was born of a shared commitment to following Jesus all the way to the cross. There were differences of opinion about what following that Jesus looked like. There was judgment about whose faith was strong and whose faith was weak. There were assumptions about who had it all figured out and who had it all wrong. So to this broken and continuing to fraction church, Paul writes words of encouragement, of endurance. And ironically, Paul writes a word of hope Well, on this first Sunday of Advent, Christians everywhere are talking about hope. Many of them are reading scriptures from the lectionary, which predict the return of Christ and the redemption of the world. Many will hear from Matthew's gospel these words: "About that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son. Therefore, you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." And while we're not reading those words from Matthew's gospel today, if we were just to flip back in Romans a couple of chapters, we would find a similar message. "You know what time it is," Paul says. "How it is now the moment for you to wake from your sleep? For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers." On this first Sunday of Advent, as we hear the message, or perhaps the warning, that Christ's return will happen, we are called to hope. We're called to believe and to act like it might just be true. In this season of Advent, we find ourselves often caught between the urgency and the long delay of that return, right? Of the coming of God's kingdom. We remember the words from the prophet Isaiah, who insists that one day God will reign, that God will judge between the nations, arbitrating conflicts, soothing out disagreements, and creating peace. "They shall beat their swords into plowshares," Isaiah says, "and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." These are the words of the prophet. And as we remember those words, as we hear them throughout the season, we long for the day when they might be realized. But no sooner than we can begin to imagine that reality on earth, we are startled awake. Awake with reports of violence in London and war and escalating conflict further east, with impeachment inquiries in Washington, D.C. The whole world seems to be full of violence and hatred and lies and brokenness. And solutions are nowhere to be found. And to be quite frank, whether or not it is the first season of Advent, things are not feeling too hopeful. But then we remember that hope, as described in the Bible, is not naivete covered up in a healthy dose of optimism. Hope is not an emotion or a passive wish that we have. Hope is not a refusal to accept the world as it is and yet to dream about something more. No, hope is active. Hope is an active way of living. It is a commitment to hold on to God's promises for a new heaven and a new earth. Hope is a lived confidence that with God's help, this world, our world, will one day be redeemed just as it has been foretold. And in the scripture, hope is action taken. Action taken to join God in the work of building that new creation right here, right in the middle of our brokenness, with all of our shortcomings, trusting God to take care of all that we cannot do on our own. Hope is active. In this recognition, the plight of the ancient Roman Christians doesn't feel all that foreign or ancient at all. And the encouragement from Paul doesn't seem to be far from where we are, does it? There was a false sense of unity that had grown in the Roman churches based on the institutions of politics and economics and human understanding. Those who shared the same life experiences and ethnic identities and political ideas and theological conclusions, they found it easier to rally together, claiming superiority and strength over the others. Well, no wonder they kept falling short. All of those false unifiers are based on human experience and human potential. But Paul reminds them that if there is any hope to be found at all, it will not be found in earthly power, but it will be found in the lived example of Jesus, who fed the hungry, who healed the broken, who liberated the oppressed, and who welcomed everyone to the table. So perhaps if we've lost our hope, we might begin to find it by following the same advice. We might begin to rediscover it by opening ourselves to those who don't look like us, who don't speak like us, who don't share our life experiences, who don't think like us, and perhaps even those who don't worship like us. Welcome one another, Paul says, just as Christ has welcomed you. Live in harmony with one another, whether Jew or Gentile, because Christ has welcomed you just as you are, with all your limitations, with all of your flaws, with all of your imperfections. Christ has welcomed you without expecting perfection, without any required documentation. Christ has welcomed you without question, without requirement, without hesitation, without condition. Christ has welcomed you. And in that experience of being welcomed in, God's kingdom has drawn near. In that experience of being welcomed in, you and I and we together, we are being transformed by the Holy Spirit. We can begin to hope beyond the brokenness and pain that we see in our world and that we know in our lives. When we are welcomed into the body of Christ and the Spirit gets to work on us, hope begins to grow within us because we remember that we are not alone. We are not alone in our struggles or in our brokenness. We are not alone in our grief. We are never alone because Christ has welcomed us all. Standing here in a pulpit on this first Sunday of Advent, I must confess I'm a little embarrassed. I'm embarrassed to admit that I struggled with hope this week. I struggled to believe that somehow and some way all the pain and the sin and the brokenness of this world could somehow be made new. It just seemed a little far off. Then I look at this little Lego. Look at this one little piece. And I realize that when I struggle for hope, it's usually because I have fallen prey to the lie that I have to do it alone. When I struggle to find hope, it's usually because I've started to believe that I am alone and that I alone am responsible for healing all the pain, for righting all the wrongs, for mending all the brokenness in the world, in the church, and even in my own life. But then I look at this Lego, and when I see it there, I remember that I'm not alone. It's just the first piece. In fact, there's a whole scene yet to be built, and we don't know what it's going to look like. There are other characters who will come out of doors number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and all the way up to 25. There are more props to add. There are new storylines to create. And in fact, this adventure is only just beginning. And only God knows when and where and how it will end. So looking at this Lego, I humbly remember that this year, I alone cannot bring about new creation. I alone cannot beat swords into plowshares. I alone cannot make lions and lambs, or perhaps donkeys and elephants lie down together. But with steadfastness and with courage, and perhaps even with God's help, I am growing in hope. Amen.
Thanks for joining us for Pastor Chrissy's sermon. Check back soon for our next podcast where Pastor Amanda will interview Elizabeth Worley on the topic of hope.